listening to WNUR 89.3 FM HD1 Evanston, Chicago. I'm Basil Free, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, a potential end to meal exchange water bottles, Dev Patel getting into some monkey business, and a closer look at state flags. In an effort to promote sustainability on campus, the Northwestern Associated Student Government has passed a bill to remove the plastic water bottles served as a part of the meal exchange option. Reporter Gabby Schell has the scoop.
You're coming back from a late night out and about, and you're starving. You check your phone. It's past 10. All the dining halls are closed. Lisa's it is. As you grab your warm, cheesy quesadilla from the counter, you look to your left and see a stack of water bottles. To grab or not to grab? On one hand, you're thirsty, and you did technically pay for it. But on the other hand, you know plastic waste is bad for the environment. And let's be real, who actually likes Dasani? Thanks to the Northwestern Associated Student Government, or ASG, you will no longer have to face this choice. During winter quarter, ASG passed a bill to remove all plastic water bottles from campus restaurants and vending machines. Although the Sustainability Committee is still in deliberations with Northwestern administrators, they expect the bill will be implemented by the start of next school year. Weinberg, third year and ASG Senator Humsa Haque, explained the administrator's role in eliminating water bottles from the on-campus restaurants.
The admin would basically just request that they stop giving the free water bottles with their meals.
Haque added that while he wasn't sure if administration would completely remove the water bottles from campus, he was confident that overall the bill would decrease plastic waste.
Even if the resolution isn't very successful, at the very least, the water bottles will stop being free. But I'm pretty confident that admin will be able to get rid of all plastic water bottles. And whether or not it'll be replaced by any sort of alternative, I don't think so, because of they're just too expensive.
While you probably won't see paper or aluminum water bottles populating the checkout stations at your favorite Norris lunch spot, the ASG resolution aims to replace the water bottles with more water fountains and refill stations. Senators also discussed more sustainable ways of ensuring everyone had access to water.
They mentioned not just Norris, but I think Northwestern Dining, giving reusable water bottles, similar to the reusable, the green plastic containers.
Weinberg first year Nina Gupta is excited about the change.
I think that getting rid of water bottles in meal exchanges is a really good idea, and I'm surprised that this bill hasn't been passed earlier, given the university's initiatives toward becoming more sustainable and climate-friendly. And I definitely think that the water bottles are a big part of the waste that's accumulated here on campus.
Haque agreed with Gupta's sentiment on the environment, adding that health concerns and taste factored into his decision to avoid the plastic water bottles.
I personally choose not to drink out of water bottles for, obviously sustainability reasons, and also, reports on how many microplastics are in plastic water bottles, so I just don't think they're healthy either. And honestly, it just doesn't really make sense to me, because the free water that they usually give you isn't even that good, quality.
But not all students feel the same. Haque recalled conversations he had with his friends after the ASG vote.
And I talked about it to other people, my friends. They were not happy with the fact that I voted for the resolution. They're what the hell? Why would you do that? Because they like their free water.
Even in ASG, the resolution was contentious. Senators that were opposed to the bill were concerned with a lack of a clear replacement for the plastic water bottles. In the end, Haque said the bill only passed by a handful of votes.
It was just a close vote. I guess a lot of people were not with it, with the idea.
Even though the vote was close, the bill gave both Gupta and Haque more confidence in the role of ASG.
I know that some people will choose not to get water bottles just because they carry their own reusable water bottle, but I think that getting out of even having that option is a step in the right direction, and I'm glad that ASG voted on this bill.
Huck added that a lot of the resolutions that usually pass in ASG are,
oh, we need to recognize this, we need to recognize this, which is like, okay, it's just ending up like making a post or something like that. Versus this is something that I think will make a drastic dent in the plastic usage, at least in this community, like at school here at Northwestern.
ASG has more sustainable resolutions on the horizon. Recently, Weinberg first-year and ASG Senator Eliza Marcus introduced the bill to add reusable to-go cups in the dining hall. In doing so, the dining surfaces will cut down on paper waste from the coffee cups. For WNUR News, I'm Gabby Schell.
Monkey Man marks Dev Patel's directorial debut, and he's entered the scene with a thrilling action movie. Max Milo has the story.
Close your eyes, and you will find yourself.
Monkey Man, Dev Patel's directorial debut, is in theaters now. The film follows the long and grinding journey of one man for revenge, starting with his lowly origins as an underground fighter scripted to lose each fight with as much blood and drama as possible.
Anyone who talks outside these walls, anyone who forgets their place, doesn't turn out well for them. Understood?
You may know Deb Patel from a variety of work ranging from Slumdog Millionaire to the best exotic Marigold Hotel. His acting spans across genres, and it's no surprise that his first film as a director brings originality to the action movie scene. Originally slated to release as a Netflix original, the movie was passed on multiple times before arriving in the hands of Universal Studios. And the production company behind the film is none other than Jordan Peele's Monkey Paw Productions. You may know Jordan Peele from horror hits like Get Out or Nope.
When I was a boy, my mother used to tell me a story of a demon king and his army.
Personally, I loved the movie. While the gory fight scenes and dramatic chases evoke parts of a John Wick movie, Monkey Man also dives deep into conflict over class divisions in India, transgender and non-binary representation, and an all-out criticism of authoritarianism. What seemingly starts as a revenge plot for the murder of a loved one turns into a campaign for the oppressed. No plot device feels forced, and development is carefully laid out over 2 hours of incredible build-up to a phenomenal finale.
I thought it was really well done, and I think, like he said, it makes a lot of important statements without those being, you know, the focus of it completely.
I interviewed some fellow audience members, Anushka and Sanjay, after the movie. I really agree with Anushka. Sometimes the presence of certain characters or themes in a film can feel reductive or simply for a cash grab, but Monkey Man takes the time to carefully consider each of its characters and underlying concepts without breaking the natural flow of the movie. Sanjay was a fan as well.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I think the action was really good. And I think it made a lot of powerful statements on politics in India, which I don't know if it was how intentional it was, and I don't know how many people who don't have context will get the message, but I like that.
Some of the largest villains in the movie all support or participate in a rising authoritarian political party responsible for the deaths of countless people in the name of power. The Kid, Deb Patel's character in the movie, works to bring them down with the help of the Hijra, a third gender community of South Asia.
I think I loved the bit about the use of the tabla. It was like a advanced Karate Kid kind of scene. And I thought Zakir Hussain, who was playing the tabla, is a legendary player, like won a bunch of Grammys. And I think that was one portion I really enjoyed.
Hussain plays a member of the community in the movie, and tabla is a pair of twin hand drums. In the scene Sanjay describes, Hussain syncs tabla drum beats with Patel's punches on a punching bag, making one of the coolest training montages I have seen in a while.
He does good work in general, and I think this was definitely one of the best I've seen of his. I also think like the psychedelic journey and the way they did that was pretty interesting.
I'm not trying to spoil too much of the plot, but there are definitely a multitude of creatively shot sequences in the film.
Yeah, I like his work generally. I think this was visually like very in modern India means John Wick inspired in some ways, which I kind of liked. And I thought the aesthetic kind of captured well, and I think slightly hyper-modernized, like what looked like Bombay was kind of nicely done, but in a very different sense. I think it's still for like an audience outside India, I think, in the way it's shot, but I appreciate that.
If you're a fan of action movies like John Wick and the like, definitely check out Monkey Man. It goes above and beyond with the genre, and I was glued to the screen the entire time. For WNUR News, I'm Max Milo.
State flags can represent the most important and sometimes the most controversial aspects of a state's history. How do states' residents grapple with these representations and their changes? Ella Smith and Rachel Spears have the story.
For many, it isn't always easy to let your freak flag fly, but several U.S. states have state flags that are unique, sometimes in interesting ways. From flags with toes, nudity, images of violence and peace, designs run the gambit. But there are two things many of them have in common. They aim to create a sometimes debatable sense of state pride, and they are blue. There is a lot of blue. Recent changes to state flags in Mississippi, Utah, and most recently Minnesota have brought into question the role of history and identity when it comes to unifying symbols like a flag. Who do flags represent? Who might they exclude? To find out, we asked Northwestern students from different states their opinions on their state's flags. Monica Young, a freshman in Weinberg, hails from Biloxi, Mississippi. In January 2021, the state adopted a new flag, replacing one that included the Confederate battle flag.
There are a lot of people that really identify with that flag given its heritage and their heritage. So there was definitely a lot of controversy surrounding it. A lot of people were overall happy with the new flag just because it just looks better.
The new Mississippi state flag features the state flower, a magnolia, surrounded by stars and the phrase, "In God We Trust." Young said that the new flag embodies a sense of Mississippi pride that can be enjoyed by everyone. Chase Wakelin, a Weinberg freshman from Atlanta, Georgia, spoke about Georgia's state flag, which was changed in 2003. It has three stripes and the state's coat of arms in gold.
I think that it's a pretty well-appreciated design. I think that people appreciate that it calls back to Georgia's status as one of the first 13 states.
The complicated histories of some states can make it difficult to have a flag that embodies the past in a way that provides a sense of community but does not offend. Wakelin said the changes made to the state flag are a good thing.
I think that Georgians are really prideful and they're proud, not of that part of their history, but of our history overall. And it's hard to express that and ignore some parts of it, but maybe that's a part better left out.
Besides state flags with symbols dating back to the Civil War, there are many state flags that show indigenous people or symbols. One of these states is Massachusetts. Their state flag is white with a blue crest that shows the Native American Massachusetts holding a bow and arrow, representing peace. While there are varying opinions about this particular state flag, one Weinberg first year, Patrick Berg, says that he likes how the flag points to the original inhabitants of the land, but thinks that more could be done.
I think it kind of pays homage a little to the initial residents of the land, which, not a lot of states do that, and I know doing it is not enough, but it's still, I think, a nice way of saying this is where the land came from.
There are currently no efforts to change the Massachusetts state flag. In Minnesota, however, a measure to change the flag from one that featured the state crest and images of indigenous people to a more simple design was recently enacted.
Well, I think it's better than the old flag, but to me, it's a little boring. I like the colors because they do represent the waters in Minnesota, but yeah, I think there could be a little bit more on it.
That was CESPE's second year, Maya Hidalgo. Despite her misgivings about the new flag, she agreed with the decision to change it from the old design.
Sometimes that can be hard for people, especially when There's so much history behind a flag and, like, with the symbolism. But I think, like, in this particular case, it was good to change it because the old one was pretty offensive and not very respectful to the people who lived in Minnesota before it became a state.
Young agrees that change is difficult. In her state of Mississippi, there are still remnants of the past despite the changing of the flag.
Well, if it's a part of history, it's never truly going to be erased, even if you do change things. Because, like, for example, in the backyard of the Beauvoir, there's Confederate soldiers' graves that have, like, hundreds and thousands of, like, tiny little Confederate flags.
The variety in flag designs across the 50 states and the push to update them has brought history and culture into the conversation. But for some, symbols like the flag do not garner much state pride.
I personally don't have too much vested in the state flag. It's not a big part of my identity, and I think I speak for a lot of people from Massachusetts saying that. So if people want to change it, go for it.
On the other hand, Young enjoys having something that unifies the state.
So I really like the change because I can have Pride in Mississippi, you know, rep my Magnolian flag on the back of my car or on my tag, and not have to, like, think about, you know, the past and all that came the flag.
For WNUR News, I'm Ella Smith with Rachel Spears.
We, as humans, tend to prefer warmth and sun over rain and wind chill. It turns out that a certain special plant has its temperature inclinations as well. Here's Michelle Huang with this week's Fairweather Friends.
Hi, I'm Michelle. Welcome back to Fairweather Friends. Each week, we give you a peek into the local and national weather. It may be unspectacularly gloomy outside, but we'll keep things lively with today's episode. From Evanston, Illinois, this is Fair Weather Friends.
Here's the weather.
If today's skies tell us anything, it's to not expect too much from the weather this weekend. At least, not the first half. The grayness continues tomorrow with a cloud coverage of 40% and a temperature high of 47 degrees. Can you believe I was really having a beach day 5 days ago? Newsflash, Evanston, the first day of spring was a month ago. Things start looking up for us on Sunday. The weather app may say 56 degrees, but a clear sky and some hefty sunlight will make temperatures feel more like the low 60s. But be careful. Once the sun sets, temperatures will fall promptly down to the 40s. Now for a slightly relevant tangent. The date this Saturday is April 20th. AKA 420. On the topic of cannabis, one place it certainly won't do well is Chicago. According to drygearenergies.com, cannabis grows the best in temperatures between 75 and 85 degrees Fahrenheit. That's why cannabis is planted in the early to mid-spring in the northern hemisphere and mid-fall in the southern hemisphere. One location that does particularly well with this special plant is Afghanistan. Reuters says that Afghanistan is the world's top cannabis source. The more you know. That's all for this week's edition of Fair Weather Friends. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, from Evanston, Illinois, I'm Michelle Huang.
Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe. A county judge dismissed 3 counts in the complaint filed by the Most Livable City Association and 13 city-owned neighbors against the city of Evanston today, marking a major loss for residents opposing future concerts at Ryan Field. The decision comes as the demolition of the old stadium nears its completion, making way for the university's $800 million plan to construct a completely new arena. Some experts are saying that the historic emergence of 2 broods of cicadas in the Chicagoland area could come earlier than expected. Originally predicted to emerge in late May and early June, we instead might soon be hearing the drones of billions of the Brood 13 and Brood 19 cicadas due to warmer weather and soil temperatures. The cicadas' appearance marks the first time in 220 years that the broods have simultaneously emerged in the area. The FAA is continuing to investigate a close call involving a JetBlue flight and Southwest Airlines plane after the aircrafts nearly collided with each other at Washington, D.C.'s Reagan National Airport yesterday. The near collision came after one flight was cleared to cross the runway, where the other was cleared for takeoff. It was reported that the planes ended up around 300 feet from each other. Apple said it had removed technology conglomerate Meta's apps, WhatsApp, and Threads from the App Store in China today to comply with orders from Chinese authorities who cited unspecified national security concerns. The decision comes in the midst of elevated tensions between the U.S. and China over technology and trade, with the U.S. previously threatening to ban Chinese-owned app TikTok over the past months. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, wnurnews.org. That's wnurnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Amelia Donhauser, and our reporters are Gabby Shell, Max Milo, Ella Smith, Rachel Spears, and Michelle Huang. I'm Basil Free. Catch our next newscast Monday, April 22nd. Now, back to scheduled programming.